Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And good morning to you. Welcome in. It is the early morning show. I'm Matt Cole with you till about 5:40, of course, before the Fan Morning Show pre-show. Welcome in to what will be a jam-packed show full of interesting things, I guess, in Pittsburgh sports over the last 24 hours or so. A trade that is getting a lot of opinions within its fan base. And also a no-hitter that the Pirates were not on the right side of. And then I'll end the show today talking a little bit of the AFC North, and in particular, it's the Cleveland Browns, and I'll bring in Daryl Reiter of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland just to see what the heck's going on over there, what we can expect from the Browns in 2020, get a kind of a view from the other side there to end the show today. But I'll start with, of course, the trade. Kasperi Kapanen, Pontus Aberg, defenseman Jesper Lindgren, all from the Toronto Maple Leafs, in exchange for Evan Rodriguez, David Warsawski, Philip Hallander, and a 2020 first-round pick. That is the number 15 overall pick from this year, all going the other way in Toronto in the first deal from Jim Rutherford this offseason. Kapanen, of course, the former first-round pick of the Penguins, brought back after being traded to Toronto in the Phil Kessel deal. Hallander going the other way, I think it's worth noting, could make a nice NHL career for himself. He's only 20 years old, a center, and as TSN's Darren Drager tweeted out last night, the Leafs like his potential. They also like the addition of a first-round pick this year, and why wouldn't they, at number 15 that the Penguins gave them, and also shaving off over $3 million in cap space. But that, of course, is not very important to this discussion, and not as important as what it means for the Penguins. It's another first-round pick gone, out the door, now leaving just one single first-round pick that's left between 2015 and 2021, because remember, the 2021 first-round pick is Jason Zucker. So that's out the door as well. So Samuel Pullin is the answer to that trivia question as to the only first-round pick that's still left in the organization over the last, 7 years. All that being said, I just don't think I can totally rip Jim Rutherford here. I can't. I can't bring myself to yell and scream about how bad this trade was for a couple of reasons. One, I think, for me, he still gets the benefit of the doubt. It's still there after he struck and struck well when he got here and compiled two Stanley Cup teams. I know it's been a few years removed from that, and I know that it can sound like an excuse when I say that, but that is a ridiculous amount of success. We should never look past a general manager coming in here and within his first few years winning two championships, especially in the NHL. Where you've got, you know, outside of Chicago making a run a few years ago, I mean, there is, you know, bunches of championships for teams. I mean, you've had the Kings, the Blackhawks, and the Penguins that have won multiple Stanley Cups over the last 10 years, 15 years. But that can't be just looked past and sloughed off, even if it's been a few years. Even if he's made moves since then that it's been hit or miss. It's always going to be hit or miss. No GM strikes gold on every move they make in any sport. And I just have a hard time complaining about a general manager, too, for the second reason why I can't rip him here, who is aggressive and going after winning right now, who understands that the time isn't necessarily on his side with generational talents on the roster. Can't you appreciate that as I do, as a fan looking at a general manager of a team and seeing that he is going all out to win right now with what he has, understanding a quote-unquote window or whatever you want to call it? And I know people are up in arms about trading yet another first-round pick. I get that. It doesn't sound good, especially, you know, in totality when you look at, again, as I mentioned, they've only kept one since 2015, and they'll lose another one next year. But I went back and looked the past 15 years of 15th overall picks in the league in the first round. The more recent ones, you don't know what they'll become yet, obviously, because, you know, there's guys that are just too close to being drafted and they haven't made it into the league yet. But three guys in those 15 years stick out. 2008, Erik Karlsson went to the Senators. 2011, JT Miller to the Rangers, who's now a Vancouver Canuck and is still in the playoffs. And 2014, Dylan Larkin to the Red Wings. And Dylan Larkin is kind of a rising star in the NHL. Don't really know a whole lot about him yet because he's still on some bad teams in Detroit, but I think he'll continue to get better. But just those three guys, I think, stand out as kind of pseudo-stars in the league, especially Erik Karlsson. Outside of them, it's a lot of Kasperi Kapanens or worse. So the value there with a 15th overall pick, it is very much just a gamble. And now Kasperi Kapanen's only topped 44 points in a season so far in his career. A couple years ago, he scored 20 goals. Last year, he scored 13 in a shortened season for everyone, including him. And it seems like he's going to be a top six winger, and he might be put right on that top line. And we know what happens to any kind of talent once they get with Sidney Crosby. I mean, ask Pascal Dupuis and numerous other examples. Top six right now looks like, in my mind at least, it's Gensel, Crosby, maybe Kapanen, and then Zucker, Malkin, Rust. I'll take that. And I look at this as just a start to what will be a firestorm of sorts or a whirlwind of moves that Jim Rutherford is going to make this offseason. That bottom six might end up looking virtually unrecognizable from last year. I mean, who knows who's going to make up the bottom six of this roster? There's still so much left to do, and I think Rutherford's just getting warmed up here. And I can't get all up in arms this morning and say that this has ruined the offseason or that Rutherford's out of his mind. He's still going all in on winning right now. It's a tone setter. I mean, make no mistake that the Penguins are going to have nothing left to rebuild a roster, and it could be dark, dark times for a while once this run finally does fall apart. There is still a strong commitment to the quote-unquote aging stars that they still have gas left in those tanks. And here's another young, talented star that they're familiar with coming in, who's added some physicality and some grit to his game, by the way, that I think was just icing on the cake for Rutherford. So again, I think this is just a tone setter of, we're still going all in, boys. We're winning right now. Was it a bit of a hefty price to pay? Yeah, maybe, probably. But future be damned. Gear up, get ready for the 2020-2021 season. Let's just hope that Kapanen actually belongs on the top six and is another second coming to a team like Connor Sherry's was this year. All right, coming up next, the Pirates. Things didn't go so well for them last night, and some other things you may have missed if you went to bed extremely early. And then to end the show today, Daryl Reiter from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. We'll talk a little bit of Browns with him and just get a lay of the land, what we could be looking at whenever the Steelers have to face them twice in the 2020 season. That's all on the way. It's the Early Morning Show on 93.7 The Fan. All right, you're up early, which means you probably went to bed early. Here's what you may have missed.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Here we go from NBC Sports Chicago.
One at home has their hearts in their throats. On 0-2 to right field, Adam Engel is there! A no-hitter! The 19th in White Sox history!
Yep, Lucas Giolito, 9 innings, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts of the Pirates as he no-hits them and makes history on the 2020 season. Interesting comment here from Giolito after the game. Again, NBC Sports Chicago. When did you know that you could pull this thing off?
After the 7th, all right, 6 more outs. Looking at who I was facing, it became very, very, very possible. And then we were able to get it done.
So he looked and said, oh, it's not Reynolds or Bell? Okay, I can handle it from here. Thank you very much. Polanco, Riddle, Tucker, Dyson. John Ryan Murphy, who became Jose Osuna, and Eric Gonzalez. Yeah, okay, I got this. We're good. We're cool. Derek Shelton on Giolito.
You were able to be in command, and the way his ability to go up with the fastball and then kind of tunnel off it with the changeup, you knew about the fourth or fifth inning. I mean, from watching him, personally, I knew from like the fourth or fifth inning, this is the best stuff I'd seen him have.
Yeah, he got a lot of looks at him being with the Twins last year. Derek Shelton did. Eric Gonzalez actually hit the ball really hard to end the game with 2 outs in the 9th. Roped one into right field, but a right fielder made a good play on it and caught it for the 3rd out and the no-hitter. And that's the season right there, isn't it? And that's baseball, really. You heard the saying that you're only as good as the next day's starting pitcher? It's certainly true last night, coming off of a sweep of the Milwaukee Brewers and then getting no hit in the next game. No Jose Tabata around to lean into one either. Not much else to say. I mean, hey, Giolito was fantastic over all 9 innings last night, consistently upper 90s with his fastball and just had them looking silly for most of that game with 13 strikeouts along the way. And all they can do is just get back at it, I guess, today at 210 with Trevor Williams on the mound. Who knows how much longer he's going to be a Pirate as the Toronto Blue Jays are interested in trading for him. That news coming out yesterday. So we'll see what happens there. Also adding more insult to last night, Tyler Glass now, did you check out his act for Tampa Bay? Went 7 innings against the Orioles, gave up 2 runs on 5 hits, but also had 13 strikeouts, dominated along the way. Couple other things from yesterday that you may have missed. John Tortorella, remember, and I deleted the audio like a goof, but remember whenever he had his press conference after the Blue Jackets were eliminated and after 2 questions said, yeah, guys, I'm not into the touchy-feely stuff. You guys be safe. I'll see ya. Well, he was fined $25,000 by the NHL for his conduct during that press conference. And he's been fined $162,000 during his NHL coaching career, which is incredible for torts. And also, a siren, a big, sign here for if you are participating in any kind of fantasy football draft today, tomorrow, this weekend, whenever. If it gets to the later rounds and Gardner Minshew is still around, it might be worth taking him. As Bud Light announced that anyone who drafts Minshew in the first round, well, okay, never mind. Not the later rounds, but in the first round of their draft is eligible to win a free case of beer. So if you really don't have that much on the line, consider drafting Gardner Minshew in the first round. They also said that a fan that wins their league's championship with Minshew as their quarterback will have a chance to win free Bud Light for an entire season. There you go. All right, coming up next, Daryl Reiter, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. What the Browns are up to in camp, the injuries that they've been dealing with, and, I mean, are they for real? Do we actually have to worry about them this year? It's all coming up next. All right, welcome back. We go out to the hotline right now. We bring in Daryl Reiter of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
Good. Hey, thanks for joining me. I'll first start with the news from Monday of Grant Delpit, the Browns' second-round pick, safety out of LSU, going down with a torn Achilles in camp, done for the year. How much does this impact what Cleveland was looking to do defensively, and how big of a role was he going to assume this year as a rookie?
Well, he was going to start, so it's a huge blow. They're dropping like flies at training camp for the Browns right now, and he's just the latest one, so they're going to have to try and adjust on the fly once again. But he was expected to start and play a pretty transformative role at that position defensively.
So through the first week or so of training camp and padded practices, has there been anything in particular that you've noticed or that stuck out to you from Browns camp that might be different from last year?
Well, I mean, they're in a teaching phase, so it's there's not been a lot to glean from Browns practices because they're trying to get all these systems installed, and that just, you know, they didn't have a spring to do it. This is the worst year to have yet another head coach and yet another system to put in. So there really hasn't been a lot to glean from these practices because, as Coach Stefanski has put it, they're in this teaching phase. And I think we're a couple of days away before they're even able to ramp things up and get beyond that.
Yeah, you mentioned Kevin Stefanski, and I wanted to ask you, what kind of tangible impact do you think he can have or he can make to this team? Why are the Browns going to be better with him at the helm?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Browns never get it right, right, when it comes to coaches or personnel or drafting or whatever. So, I mean, every year we say, oh, camp has a different feel to it. It's more organized. There's a pace and a purpose. So what? Like, it's the same thing every year. It's a broken record. So I honestly, I don't know. I think he's more organized than Freddie Kitchens was. You know, I can at least see what type of offense they want to run during camp. Like, I can see the purpose to what they're doing, which in past years has been sometimes hard to figure out. So, you know, maybe that's it, that they're going to finally have some sort of an identity and they're actually going to effectively use the playmakers that they have on that side of the ball. That, I guess, is my early impression that I take away from the first nine practices.
Man, that was spoken like such a Browns follower right there. I love it. Daryl Ryder of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, I'm fascinated by the amount of weapons the Browns have on offense and all the different options that Baker Mayfield has. And then Odell Beckham is right in the middle of it. And I say that because I feel like he is a firecracker waiting to go off at any time where, say, if he doesn't get the ball enough or he gets frustrated with the quarterback play, he goes off. Is that a concern for the Browns heading into this season?
No, I mean, him being explosive on the field, I don't think it's a concern because he looks healthy and he's a lot of fun to watch every day at practice. He's on his best behavior. This, you know, this reputation that he came with from New York, even last year, like so he got fined for wearing a watch. I mean, that's a marketing deal that he does off the field and stuff like that. I never once got any indication he was a problem child behind the scenes. And so I don't know where the Odell Beckham is a bad teammate, is a cancer in the locker room narrative came from there in New York, because I've not seen it. His teammates absolutely love him. Now, talking to people this year, yes, he's a little more comfortable. He feels like Cleveland is more of a home for him now that he's had an opportunity to get settled. He looks healthy out on the field. He's having fun. He's not hurt. He's healthy. Another thing that just makes me scratch my head is that he catches over 70 passes and 1,000 yards, and everyone says he had a terrible season last year because he only caught 4 touchdown passes. He played the entire season with a core muscle injury. And that season went south last year. He could have easily bagged it, had the surgery last year, and been done with it. And he played through it. And he still put up really good numbers. Now, were they Odell Beckham Jr. numbers that everyone expects? No. But you catch for 1,000 yards and over 70 passes, you had yourself a pretty good year. Odell Beckham Jr. did that hurt. That tells you what type of a special player and what a quality teammate that guy really is. So I don't see these problems that some in the media in New York, I think, manufactured when it comes to Odell. Granted, everything he says, it's a headline, but I've always found my interactions with him to be respectful, to be thought-provoking, and at times, quite frankly, rather entertaining. He's an entertaining guy. So I think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be great for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's able to do this year, as healthy as he is right now.
So as far as you can tell, do you get the sense that they're going to keep all of those targets, all of those weapons? I know that David Njoku, there was some speculation around him, but he's sticking around. Do you expect any movement there throughout the year, or do you think this is what they end up with?
Well, right now Njoku's hurt. He's got a wrist injury. So, I don't foresee them trading off any of their guys on the offensive side of the ball. Because I have a feeling with as beat up as the defense is, they're going to need to score all the points they can score. So they're going to need those guys. I think Njoku will probably end up staying put unless the organization decides, hey, you know, he's not what we're looking for, and let's go ahead and get him out of here. But even though he's got the wrist injury, Njoku is, I guess you could say, back on board with the Browns this year. And I think, too, part of the market that was out there, I don't think it was as robust as Drew Rosenhaus thought it was going to be for him.
All right, and finally, Daryl Ryder of 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Let's talk quarterbacks for just a second. I can't let you go without asking about this. How long do you think that leash is for Baker Mayfield heading into the season, and when do you think they'd think about going to Case Keenum?
I don't think they do. I think the only way Case Keenum starts is if something happens to Baker Mayfield, and let's hope that doesn't happen. But no, Baker Mayfield's franchise quarterback. They are really committed to that right now. Case Keenum was brought in for three reasons. One, to be a legitimate backup should something happen to Baker Mayfield and be able to win games. Two, provide some mentorship to Baker Mayfield behind the scenes, and as well as on the field and on sidelines, whatever. And then three, assist Baker with acclimating himself to Kevin Stefanski's offense, because the best year that Case Keenum ever had in his career was 2017. Kevin Stefanski was the Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks coach. Keenum won 11 of 14 games as a starter for the Vikings.
Daryl Ryder, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Daryl, thanks so much for a few minutes this morning. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you have it. A lot of interesting stuff, at least, on Cleveland. And I mean, I don't know, especially that last part with Baker Mayfield. All I know is that there is a lot of weapons, a lot of mouths to feed for him. And if he has another performance like he did last year where he throws 20-plus picks, I'm sorry, there's just going to be a lot of unrest there. And there has to be. Whether or not Freddie Kitchens is around or not, I just feel like I'm not buying what he's selling there at the end. And it's still, at the end of the day, it might be same old Cleveland and some of the same things that we have seen over the last few years in the AFC North. But, man, it's always, the last couple years, there's been that hype train for Cleveland and getting back into the picture. And, there's a part of me that kind of roots for that because I want to see a race to the finish. But if Cleveland can finally get it together, and I've mentioned this multiple times, then earshot, maybe a game or maybe the same record as the Steelers, that's a huge, huge problem because it is going to be tight there at the end of the AFC for that wild card race, because I see about 7 or 8 teams that've got a legitimate shot of contending for that in the AFC. And so if they can fend off, hopefully Cleveland can't get over themselves for another season. All right, let's wrap up the show today with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
MLB trade deadline, August 31st, less than a week away. I can't tell if there's going to be a lot of action in a shortened season or if teams are just going to kind of keep their guys because there hasn't been a lot of time to evaluate them, or on the other side, teams don't know who's actually having a good season or not to go out and get them. The first rumors surfaced of the Blue Jays being interested in Trevor Williams and Chad Kuhl, and I hope that Ben Cherington has opened up pretty much his entire roster to the trade block. But he's in a conundrum because even last night, six of his hitters were under the Mendoza line. Six! Talk about draft value. Jeez. I think it might be a move or two, but nothing like we might think or expect at the trade deadline for the Pirates. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, strong thunderstorms, a high of 85, and then tonight, more strong storms throughout the area and a low of 72. The pre-show, it's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.